Sending prayers your way, Chandler.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at BasketballMonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at RedRock_Beeball and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today we are recapping the absolutely massive day in the NBA, 14 games on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. All teams bar the Mavericks and the Clippers played, so we're going to recap all of that action and then look at some injury news. Not going to do a DFS preview for the one game slate tomorrow. You can check out projections for that over on Basketball Monster. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. The first game we're going to have a look at here is the Detroit Pistons going down to the Washington Wizards 106-100. Andre Drummond played 35 minutes. He did cop a whack in the face at the end of the game and apparently lost a tooth, busted up his lip as well. 35 minutes, 18 and 16, 4 steals and 2 blocks, just the usual Drummond stuff. And of course, with Drummond playing, Christian Wood played 13 minutes, 6 and 5. And this is what we always, or what I have always talked about with Wood. You need to assume that Drummond is getting traded for Wood to be a stash hold sort of a guy. They are not, and I could be wrong, but they are not just going to say, cool, Drummo, go and sit and play 20 a night. We want the Woodsman to play 28 a game. It just isn't something that's going to happen. Maybe Drummond gets dealt. Maybe he doesn't. You have to be in a situation where you can ride out the poor performances from the crucifix to hold on in the hope that Drummond gets traded and in the hope that Casey starts him and the hope that he gets starters minutes. All those things need to come to fruition, so there are genuine risks involved with it. I've talked about this on the show plenty of times as well. Tim Frazier, he goes to teams. For some reason, the coach gets excited. They start him. They play him 30 minutes. It lasts two games, and the minutes come down. They come down. Then he goes out of the rotation. And then 3 weeks later, he comes back in, and the same pattern happens. And we're seeing it again now. They made a change, the Pistons. They put Derrick Rose as the starter. And then we got 24 minutes a night of Tim Frazier for some... I've got no idea what the reason is. Today, he's back down to 11, and he's going to be back out of the rotation again. It just is a consistent pattern. No coach seems to realize that this guy just can't do it at an NBA level, and it continually happens, and I don't understand it. But it was good for our boy, the Shark, Bruce Brown. Baby Shark, because he got his minutes back up, 26 minutes, 7 points, 4 assists, the triple one. I am worried about where the value goes once Reggie Jackson is back. I think he's going to suffer a bit. While Derrick Rose, it looks like the minutes restriction is gone. 21 points in 34 minutes, 21 shot attempts with 2 steals. The peripherals aren't great for him, but the points obviously are really strong. While Tone Snell also got things going, 16 points with 4 triples from Tone Snell. That is one of those ones where you just don't see it happen all that often. Markieff Morris got ejected. What a shocker. 10 points in 18 minutes for Markieff. Well, Mikhailuk hit 2 threes. That's what he's good for as a 3-point streamer. And Sekou Doumbouya wasn't a great game for him. 6 points in 23 minutes. He's a guy that we liked adding. I liked adding. And he was providing some okay numbers. I'm not sure his upside is through the roof for this season. I do think it's pretty high long term. So if you're in a 10 team league, I don't think Sekou's worth holding in those scenarios. If you're in a 12-teamer and there's a better option on the wire, I don't think you should be just holding on to him and just hoping that everything starts coming together, because in all likelihood, he's probably just going to hover in that 100 to 150 type range for the most of the rest of the season, which isn't super valuable. So all I'm saying is if you want to drop him, I can see that being a move that you make. For the Wizards, they did move the Tank Tom Bryant back out of the starting lineup because he was starting at power forward for no reason to the backup center role. Again, don't know what's going on there. But if we go back to last season, the Wizards, and Scott Brooks in particular, they hated playing Tom Bryant. Even when no centers was around, they just wouldn't give him minutes. It happened a little bit to begin this season with Mo Wagner taking minutes, and now Yan Mihinmi is getting the minutes. 23 minutes for Mihinmi here, 21 and 7 with 2 steals and 3 blocks. A great performance, 90% shooting. Bryant did all right himself, 13 and 6 in 22 minutes. But I don't think we're getting 30-minute Tom Bryant really back at all. Now, they do have to be careful. A big man coming back from a foot fracture type issue is always a problem. But again, just going back to that pattern of Brooks limiting him significantly last season, limiting him again now, playing him off the bench behind Mihinmi, it's a real concern. And it's fair enough. It's part of the reason I talked about Bryant when talking dynasty value for him is that he's not a good defender. And he's one of those guys that I don't have long-term hope, and I don't have long-term hope that he is a starting center in the NBA. And with the Wizards' defense being as bad as it was, when Mahinmi came back and Scott Brooks saw that he could be a good defender, I think that's really what's caused this problem here. And that issue that I thought with Bryant for the next 2 years' time has come really, really quickly here. Now, he could come back and start and play 32 minutes next week. Oh, I really, really doubt that's going to happen. And the long and short of it is, in this situation, you know, holding on to Bryant, it's pretty tough when the path to minutes is a little cloudy. Beal played 33, which is great. 29 points with 6 assists there. Well, Ish-Smith, 9, 7, and 6. He's a nice 14-team league point guard. Isaiah Thomas, 5 points in 18 minutes. Didn't miss a shot, but still only played 18 minutes. And Troy Brown, just the 6 points in 25. Neither Thomas nor Brown are 12-team league guys to me. Davis Bertans, I would hold tight. It hasn't been great since he returned from the quad injury. 8 points in 23 minutes with 2 triples. While the big mitten, Gary Payton, continues to start. Sure, he had 4 steals, and Isaac Bonga had 2 points in his 22 minutes. Those two are starting at the 2 and the 3 for a team that just knocked off the Detroit Pistons. Let us move on now. Actually, before we move on, I have to tell you about something that's really, really important, and that is calm. We talk about physical fitness a lot, but there's another side to the game that's just as important, and that is mental fitness. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation. I've got it on my phone, and Calm has teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help train your brain so you sleep better, have less stress, and perform at your best. For LeBron, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. He says, getting good sleep and finding the time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind. And if you head to calm.com/lockedonNBA, you'll get 40% off a Calm premium membership. For a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/lockedonNBA. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/lockedonNBA. That's calm.com/lockedonNBA. Now, let's go across to game number 2 on the night. The Toronto Raptors and the Atlanta Hawks. A little bit of a weird one, because you'd look at these scores and you go, well, it wasn't really a blowout, 122-117, but it was. And then the Hawks made a furious rush at the end of the game and the Raptors had to put their starters back in. But they were up by like 25, 30 points with about 8 minutes to go. So you'll see the minutes really low for the Raptors guys. Storm and Norman Powell, 27 points in only 25 minutes with 6 triples. Usage continues to be high. Efficiency continues to be high. I do like him for 12 teamers. Fred VanVleet, 26 minutes coming back from the hammy. 20 points with 3 steals. Great. Pascal Siakam, 18 and 6 in 29 minutes. Has not been the same guy since returning from his groin injury. But again, you know, that's solid enough. Kyle Lowry, great to see him getting low minutes. 29 minutes, 10, 4, and 7 with a steal and a block. Serge Ibaka, 24 minutes. That's 2 straight games for 24 for Serge. I think he's a 12-team drop. While Marc Gasol had 14 and 5.
Oh, hi, Mark.
In those 23 minutes. Now, started out with a real bang when he returned from the injury, but I think getting VanVleet back has enabled them to go with different rotations and lineups, which is going to put a bit of a ceiling on what Gasol can do. He's probably not a 10-team guy, more of a 12-team hold, while the Jedi, OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
I had him on my drop podcast earlier today, and he responded with 4 points in 21 minutes. With everyone here and healthy, I just don't see OG being a consistent enough 12-team level performer to be someone that you consider as a must-roster player. On to the Hawks. Trae Young was great. 42, 6, and 15. That is ludicrous. 21 free throw attempts and hit 18. Also ludicrous. While the Baptist John Collins finally back over 30 minutes. 17 and 11 in 37 of them. Had the 3 blocks. Not much else, but that's still really good numbers. And DeAndre Hunter put together another good performance. Now, both he and Collins fouled out. Hunter did it after 27 minutes. 13, 6, and 4 with 2 threes and 2 blocks for DeAndre. 14 teams. Sure, I'm not ready to bite the bullet in 12s. As for Fantapants Kevin Huerter, he had like 19 minutes played in the first half. Jeff Teague had played 5. He ended with only 30 minutes and came back in at the end when Hunter fouled out. It was quite odd. He did pick up a couple of early fouls in the third quarter, but then at the start of the fourth, Norm Powell was really cooking. They took Huerter out and they put DeAndre Bembry in, and it cut his minutes down. It was not Jeff Teague, who played only 11 minutes in this game, who took the minutes off Huerter. It was a combination of Bembry, getting that playing time and a few extra minutes for Cam Reddish. I'm not, again, this is a really great buy low opportunity for Huerter. I am not dropping him, but he was on track. And again, I didn't really like what Pierce did there, but yeah, it wasn't Teague being around that caused this problem. He played 11 minutes, Jeff Teague. Now, Teague had 2 points in his 11 minutes. He is a clear 12-team drop. Reddish, 13 points, 3 threes, 2 steals. An excellent threes and steals streamer. It's not going to happen every game, but he's got that ability to be a 3-and-3 guy in both of those categories, and that gives you some upside there. Bruno Fernando, 16 minutes, and Damian Jones played 17. They really didn't do all that much, although to be fair, Fernando scored well, had 12 points in his limited minutes, while Alex Len is currently sidelined, and Len hopefully won't be too far away from returning. Next game we look at, the Brooklyn Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers. Ben Simmons is absolutely killing it with Embiid out. He played 42 minutes. They won 117-111. 42 minutes for Simmons, 34-12-12 with 5 steals and 2 blocks, 86% shooting, 71 from the line. Really strong stuff. Talked about him on the Sal High podcast last week because his numbers were so inflated with Embiid out. I just don't think anyone's going to give you back a top 10 sort of a player for Simmons, which is exactly the level he's performing at the moment. So maybe you just hold it and ride it out. We don't know how long Embiid's going to be gone. It might be another week. It might be another 3 weeks. It might be the All-Star break. We just don't know with Embiid. So I think ride out the first round production you're getting with Simmons and see where this goes. But he was masterful. Horford played just 26 minutes, 19-6, also stepping it up without Embiid. Toby Harris, 15-6, and Joshy Richardson, 15 in 32 minutes. And the painter, Matisse Thybulle. Bad shooting, 3 points on 1 of 7, but that is not why you care. He had 4 steals, he had 1 block. Again, absolutely a 12-team guy, but absolutely not for everybody. You need to want steals and blocks, and if you don't, he's useless. It's as simple as that. And it's why going by overall ranking numbers when determining who to add and who to drop off your team is pointless, especially in his case. And with so many other guys, Chris Dunn, McCall Bridges, those sort of guys. You need steals and blocks, the painter's got them for you. You need rebounds, assists, points, good percentages. He doesn't have them for you. But because he's so good in those categories, his overall rank gets jacked up, and it looks like he's a must-add for everybody, and that's not what he is. Furkan Korkmaz is another one of those three-point stream guys that you can have a look at. He knocked in another 3 triples in this one. For the Nets, there was no DeAndre Jordan again, so 31 minutes for Jarrett Allen, 13-13, a steal and a block. He's not going to play 31 a night when Jordan is back, I'm pretty confident, so he is a bit of a sell high guy at the moment, while his backup now is Speedy Claxton. He played 17 minutes, had 15-4. I really like this guy. I think he's going to be strong long term. He's not going to be playing much once DeAndre is back. He did play a little bit alongside Allen in this one, but really impressive stuff. Well, one of the best games we've seen from Caris LeVert. 16-6-6, still terrible on the field goal percentage, but no Kyrie Irving did help. Now, Kyrie was out with a hammy problem, and I can understand everyone who has him. Oh, this bloody asshole, always injured. He's got a hamstring problem. It's frustrating. Everybody knows it's frustrating. He knows it's frustrating. The Nets know it's frustrating. Hopefully, it's not a long-term thing, but we just have to wait and find out. LeVert, while Kyrie's out, he could be a stream guy. Otherwise, he's not going to be a must-hold player. Torian Prince, double-double, 12-12 with a 1-1 there. And Spencer Dinwiddie, 22-5-7. Didn't help his efficiency that Kyrie was out. But those usage numbers and the overall numbers were pretty strong. Smoker Joe Harris, I don't think, is a 12-teamer at 12 points in 33. Well, Garrett Temple got the spot start in place of Kyrie. Played 20 minutes and scored 2 points. I'd say his usefulness has passed. Let's go next game. The Orlando Magic, the Charlotte Hornets. The Magic get the win pretty comfortably, 106-83. Fournier had 26 points with 4 assists and 6 triples on 71% shooting. Nikola Vucevic, 24-10. Big games from both of those blokes. While Terry Ross, also massive opportunities for him. With no DJ Augustin, he's going to be running that second unit in terms of getting the shots. 19 points, 5 triples, 2 steals, 31 minutes. Not for everybody. Points and threes. Throw some steals in there. Ross can help you in the short term, no doubt. Wasn't a great Markel Fultz tonight, but 10-5-5 with 2 steals is fine. While it was an even worse Aaron Gordon night, 6-6-7. The 7 assists, absolutely.
A surprise, to be sure, but a welcome one.
He's been really bad this season, and I don't know where the path is for him to actually get better. It's a real concern with him, and in an 8-team league and a 10-team league, I don't think he is a must-roster player in those formats. Ken Birch started, but it was Birch and Carter Williams and Gary Clark and Wesa Wundu. They all just played middling minutes in the teens, replacing Johnny Isaac. For the Hornets, it was a rough night. They shot 38% overall. Paul Washington Jr., 19-7 with 4 triples. Good on 58% shooting. I worry about his shooting because it's all over the place. So we have 30% nights and 70% nights. And I just worry that so much is influenced by that. But yeah, he is a must-roster player, as is Devontae Graham, 15-2-6. And then out of nowhere, Malik Monk, who'd been out of the rotation, he replaced Marvin Williams in the rotation in this game, scored 20 points on 62% shooting, 36% usage for Monk. Really weird one. I'd like to see it a few more times before I trust it. It was a horror night from Terry Rozier, 4 points on 0 of 6 shooting. He did have 4 assists and 2 steals, so not a complete disaster. Biombo's gone from 25-minute starting center to 11-minute spot guys. They're running 3 centers a night with Bill Hernan Gomez and Cody Zeller, neutralizing the value of all of those guys, while it was a shit one from Miles Bridges as well. 4 points on 1 of 9 shooting. He did block a shot. He's a fringe-ish 12-team league player at this point. Let's go on to the next game. One of the hottest teams in the NBA lost to another one of the hottest teams in the NBA. The Grizzlies go down to the Pelicans, 126-116. The Pelicans have won 10 of 14, and Zion's back next game. They are absolutely crunching towards that playoff spot in the Western Conference. Drew Holiday returned. He's really good, 36-6 with 7 triples and 2 steals on 67% shooting. Now that efficiency won't stick. He'll lose some shots when Zion comes back, as will everybody. Ingram, Holiday, Ball, all those guys will lose some shots, but he's still really good. Ingram was slow going early, but 25-4-6, 2 blocks, another 11 of a 12 from the line. He just can't stop getting to the line. The usage for him is going to be interesting. I'm not advocating selling him based on Zion returning. The way he is conducting himself, you'd have to think he's still going to demand a pretty decent chunk, although he will lose, I'd imagine, 1 or 2 shots a game. With Derek Favors out, unfortunately, and Jahlil Okafor out, we got some Nicolò Melli minutes, and he played all right. 15 points in 29 minutes, 3 triples and 2 blocks. Jackson Hayes ceded the second half start to Melli. I think Melly's out of the rotation really soon. This is an interesting performance. While Lonzo Ball, Drew was back, and it's not that Drew was back that Lonzo's numbers were off, because he shot 2 of 9 from the field. Again, as I like to do, make it 4 of 9, give him an extra 2 points, and that's 4 points. That's 12, 9, and 5 with 2 steals and 2 threes, and it's fine. Like, that's a really good line. 8, 9, and 5 with 2 steals doesn't look as good, but again, 22% shooting, and he's not a good shooter. He's also not a 22% shooter, so he would be better than that. JJ Redick, just the 22 minutes, not a 12-teamer. Jackson Hayes, he's not going to be a 12-team league guy this season, 5 and 6 in his 19 minutes, while the hitman Josh Hart had 10 points in 17. For the Grizzlies, another big Dylan Brooks game. Strong, strong stuff from him. 31-9, 3 triples, 4 assists and 2 steals. And over the last month, his normal 42% shooting has skyrocketed to 46-47%, and that is making a big difference to his production. It's helping his minutes go up, and he is a 12-team league guy. It could fall off at any time, but it's really, really good from him at the moment. Morant had 16 points with 9 assists, and Triple J had 19 with 3 threes and 2 blocks. A low minutes night for Valanciunas, 14-11 in 21, but I wouldn't panic too much about that. We also had D'Anthony Melton get his standard 10 points, 2 steals in 23 minutes. He's a back-end guy who is a high upside bloke who's not likely to reach that upside anytime soon, unfortunately. Jay Crowder, he's got to have it.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
Man, when he plays bad, he is terrible. 2 points in 18 minutes on 1 of 8 shooting. Only 18 minutes as a starter. Just really confusing stuff from this guy. Almost game in, game out. It beggars belief that he can be as inconsistent. And he'll go out and drop me a 50 on the Clippers like he did the other day. Like, it's just really, really crazy stuff. The way that his production is to-ing and fro-ing the way it is. The New York Knicks beat the Cavs comfortably, 106-86. Mitch Robinson.
And Mitch Robinson says, I'll take it from here.
He took one shot. Now, that is putrid, but 4 blocks gets it done. He had 1 steal. He hit both his free throws, 6 boards, 1 shot. He needs to be more involved, but again, an encouraging sign is the blocks, and it's the 27 minutes, and it's the fact that he had 1 foul in those 27 minutes. Things are coming along for him. He's a must-roster guy, and I think it's going to turn around for him. 9-6-8 for Lord Alfred Payton with a steal and 2 blocks, strong enough for 12s, or Julius Randle, 19-9, but nobody even needed to play 30 minutes in this game. Marcus Morris, dealing with an ankle injury, 19 points in 30 minutes, or Reggie Bullock is a 3-point streamer, 12 points for 2 triples, while Rowan Barrett is out. Damian Dotson came back into the rotation. Last game, he was excised for Alonzo Trier. He played 21 minutes here and had 12 and 5, another 3-point stream option. For the Cavs, Tristan Thompson had a shit ton of rebounds, 22 of them, in fact, with a steal and a block and 13 rebounds. He's like a DeAndre Jordan, but a better version of DeAndre Jordan in that he's a stream option for rebounds. He probably is a 12-team league guy at the moment. But again, there's so much fluctuation in what he does. Colin Sexton was pretty poor. He had a couple of early assists, ended up with 17, 5, and 4 in a triple one, but 30% shooting was rough. But he is still a must-roster guy who has taken some leaps forward in areas this season. Love had 12 and 9, while it wasn't a great night from Garland either. 11, 3, and 3, and shot 20% on 20 attempts. That is really, really bad. I would still be holding him. 28 minutes for Larry Nance. Massively encouraging. Now, there was no Ante Zizic. There was no John Henson, and weirdly, Alfonso McKinney was out of the rotation as well. Actually, his 10-day might have expired. I'll check on that. But we got big minutes from Nance, and if he gets 27 a night, which he should be able to very, very, very easily do, backing up Love and Thompson, then he's a 12-team guy. Talking about like the crucifix Christian Wood, like you're hoping for a trade of Drummond for his value to come through. Nance can have value on his own if they play him these 25, and that's 24, 24, 28 in the last three games. And that's probably enough to be a 12-team league player. Chidi Osman knocked in 14 points with four triples. He's a 3-point stream option there. Let's go on. Next game up. A lot of games today, obviously. The Milwaukee Bucks beat the Bulls pretty handily. 98-111. They went with that small lineup with Lauri Markkanen at center again, not to start off with, but Luke Kornet played only 15 minutes and Chris Felizio only 12. But instead of Chandler Hutchison at the four, it was Thad Young, who played 28 minutes and had 14 and 6, two steals, two blocks, four triples. That's a lot of triples for Thad Young. Good defensive numbers. If this is what they're going to go to, then Young is absolutely a 12-team league guy. I'm just not sure that he will. An off-efficiency night from LaVine, but still 24 points with 5 rebounds and 3 steals, and great from the line. Well, Chris Dunn, anytime he gives you points, it's a bonus. 15 of them here. 3 triples and 3 steals. That's what we come for. The 3 steals makes him a 12-teamer. Satoransky, pretty poor. 7 points on 27% shooting. I think in a 10-teamer, you consider him expendable. I'd still hold in 12s. 4 assists there. Kobe White, 7 points in 25 minutes while marking it. It's a real buy-low opportunity because he's shit at the moment. He's also not being used very well, but 8 and 8 in 31 minutes. No assists, no threes, no steals, no blocks. 2 of 11 shooting for 18%. It doesn't get much worse than that for Markkanen. He's way off. The usage is low. There's so many weird things going on. He's also not playing that well. I don't think he's all that good, but he's definitely better than this. So it's a bit of a buy low opportunity for him. On to the Bucks. Giannis, good, 28, 14, and 10, as is Chris Middleton, 24, 6, and 6. But the Eric Bledsoe buy-low window is still open. 7 points in 29 minutes for Bled here. Not great. 4 rebounds, 2 assists. Still 29 minutes, but just a weirdly, weirdly low usage run from Bledsoe here. I'm still holding him. We also had Kyle Korver play 22 minutes. He had 12 points with 2 triples there. Is nothing to really see. While DiVincenzo saw his minutes cut a little bit, but still had 4 assists, still had a steal. Much like DeAnthony Melton, there's 12-team value in it, but there's absolutely no upside. Not much else to really talk about with this Bucks team. Brook Lopez blocked his shots. 3 blocks there, but shot poorly. 3 of 10 from the field. Next game, we look at Russell Westbrook and the Houston Rockets. Go down to the Oklahoma City Thunder because Chris Paul's really, really good. 28 and 8 for Paul. 4 triples, 2 steals and a block. So far, he's been one of the draft day steals. Hopefully, he can stay healthy. You could get him in the 50s, sometimes 60s in drafts. He is putting up great numbers. Same as the Italian cock, Danilo Gallinari.
Hands off my cock!
A little bit of a slow start to the season for Gallo, but he is rolling. 25 and 13, 7 of 7 from the line. And these guys really haven't had injury problems this season. Gilgeous Alexander, 13 and 10 with 3 steals. Great. Schroeder, 23, 5 and 4. Great. This team was fantastic in this game. They were without Terrence Ferguson and Nerlens Noel and lost Stephen Adams after 2 minutes. So we had Mike Muscala playing 25 minutes. We had Lugans Dort play 32 minutes.
Bort? Oh, come on. Bort?
Mommy, Mommy, buy me a license plate.
No. Come along, Bort.
Are you talking to me?
No. My son is also named Bort.
I don't know when I'm going to have another opportunity to play that, but Dort played 32 minutes, had 8 points and 2 assists, and played pretty well out there, but it's not a long-term solution for anybody. Muscala had 1 point in his 25 minutes, so hopefully Adams and Noel, or Noel, are able to come back. Of course, Nerland should be a 12-team league guy, regardless of Adams' status. For the Rockets, Russell Westbrook, a big triple-double, 13, 11, and 12. He's now scored 30 points in 5 consecutive games. 38 minutes and 67% shooting. Weird that he missed his only free throw, but a massive game from Russ. A bad game from Harden, but still got to 29 points. He was 1 of 17 from 3, Jimmy. He ended up shooting 31% overall. Still had 9 rebounds, 6 assists, and a triple one, but obviously not a great performance. And Capella only the 25 minutes. With Muscala out there, they went with different sort of lineups. 41 minutes for PJ Tucker. Again, 2 games ago, they want to keep PJ to 30 minutes. Cool. That's 35 and 41 in the next 2 games, you liar, D'Antoni. While Benny McLaughlin started again, played 20 minutes. He's not even getting 25 minutes a night as a starter. Dan House stepped up, played 36 minutes. They went with the House at the 4, Tucker at the 5 lineups. 13 and 6 for House with 2 steals and 3 blocks. That's hearkening back to what he did at the beginning of the season. He's not a must roster guy, but he's absolutely just a watch guy in a 14 teamer at least and see where this goes. Can he take those minutes back off McLemore from where he had them earlier in the season? The next game we look at, the Miami Heat. They get the win over the Kings in overtime, 118-113. Budrick Hield was great. 43 minutes, 27 and 7, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 5 triples, while Nemanja Bjelica had 22 and 6 in 37. And as long as Holmes is out, Bjelica is putting up numbers. Bagley was great as well. This is as Bagley a line as it gets. 15 and 15 with 2 assists and a steal. No blocks, no threes, didn't get to the line. That's just a really Bagley line, while Fox had 14, 2 and 8. And encouragingly, 34 minutes from Bogdan Bogdanovic. 14, 2 and 2, a steal and a block. That's a 12-team guy. Now, what they do with Kent Bazemore is really interesting. If Bazemore comes in, will they look at him and take those minutes away from Bogdanovic, or will he take the 11 minutes that Yogi Ferrell played? You would have to think that they do that sort of a thing, but I just don't know with Walton. Harrison Barnes, the pencil, Barnesy. 11 points in 33 minutes. You know what to do. He's an absolute 100% clear-ass drop. Dwayne Dedman took Harry Giles' backup minutes as well, but that's not going to last because Holmes is going to take their back. For the Heat, there was no Jimmy Butler, no Justice Winslow, so 29 minutes from James Johnson. Well. 22 points for Jimmy in 29 minutes, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, 82% shooting. Now, of course, those minutes are jacked up because Tyler Hero is still limited, Justice Winslow is out, and Jimmy Butler was out, and he's not a 12-team league ad, but maybe in the short term he can be a 16-teamer. Kendrick Nunn also a shit ton of minutes, 43 minutes, 25, 7 and 6 on 41% shooting, 8 of 8 from the line. This is a great sell-high opportunity. People are really massive believers in Nunn. Fine, he's been good at times. He's also the 140th ranked player over the last 2 months and has stepped it up since Winslow went back out and now since Hero has been limited and then, of course, Butler was out. Again, when everyone is healthy, getting him to 28 minutes a night on this team and enough usage is really, really tough to do. And that's why I don't think he's this good. I just don't. Like, he's not this good of a player. But when realism sets in and everyone is back, whenever that might be, and it might never be because Winslow might never return, that's a legitimate concern. And that is why Nunn is now a 12-team ad. But with everyone healthy, he doesn't have top 100 value. I think that's it's been pretty clear from what we've seen from him this season. And yeah, people create, oh, Josh, you said he was going to be a drop. He was a drop because, again, he's outside the top 140 over the last 2 months. But then injuries crop up and a bloke comes back in. And you can't just stash every player waiting for injuries to come for their value to jump back up. It's just an impossible ask to do that. So now, yes, Nunn is a 12-team league guy. And let's ride it out and see what happens. Hero, 6 points in 17 minutes. He's a clear drop. Not worry about that one. 18 points in 32 minutes for the Iron Shoulder as well. While Kelly Olynyk played 18 and Derek Jones played 27 minutes. Didn't do a huge amount in that time, and of course, neither of those or any of those guys are 12-team league options. Let's go on to the next game. All right, the Lakers and the Celtics next up. Big, big win here for the Celtics, 139-107. Anthony Davis did return. He was on a minutes limit, but it didn't really matter because this game was over by the start of the fourth quarter. 23 minutes for Davis, 9 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 blocks. But with him back, it is going to cut into Dwight Howard and JaVale. Now, JaVale had 18 points in 18 minutes with three blocks. That's great, but we can't rely upon that. The three blocks are the streaming value there. Well, Howard had 9 and 10 in only 19 minutes, and he's looking at more of that blocks, field goal percentage, rebounds type stream option, which can still be valuable, but the minutes will likely drop. We also had Rajon Rondo returning, which put a pin in Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's recent production, and Kyle Kuzma dropped way off, 23 minutes, 13 points with nothing else on 12 shots. Yeah, 33% shooting for Kuz there, a pretty clear 12-team league drop. LeBron had 15 and 13 with 7 rebounds.
LeBron James.
But far from his best night and the Lakers' best night in general. For the Celtics, they welcomed back both Kemba and Jaylen Brown. Kemba had 20 points in 30 minutes. Jaylen Brown had 20 points in 32 minutes. 7 and 6 assists apiece with 4 steals between the two of them. Really strong nights. Tatum was great, 27 points. Gordon Hayward was pretty strong, 16 and 6. But Enes Kanter off the bench. Now, he makes me look like an absolute dickhead because earlier today I did a Players to Drop podcast and he comes out and has 18 and 11 in 24 minutes. But even playing this well against a very big front court, he still only got the 24 minutes. Look back at his previous games where he's playing 18 minutes and not being a useful player. He can still have 12-team league value. He just doesn't have any sort of upside to be a must-roster guy, and those sort of players are streamed in and out, yeah, based on need and based on categorical stuff. So, while I do look pretty stupid by saying he's a drop and then he goes out and does this, I still stand by it, and I don't think he's a must-roster 12-team league player. 17 minutes only for Daniel Tice, 5 and 4 in those 17 minutes. Wasn't his best night, but yeah, he's still a solid enough 14-team league guy, while Marcus Smart had 9, 3, and 4. With Kemba back, it did obviously hurt his overall production, but still, 4 assists, 2 steals is enough to get it done for most 12-team formats. The next game, the Denver Nuggets and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Denver wins 107-100 on the road, on a back-to-back. No Jamal Murray, no Paul Millsap, no Gaz Harris. Michael Porter was great. Really, really good here. Even defended well, rebound fantastically. 20 and 14, 4 assists, 4 triples and a block. You got to add him. But again, when those three guys come back, that's, you know, 25 minutes worth of play. Can Porter play 30 minutes? Probably not. Can he take this many shots or grab that many rebounds? Probably not, probably not. But while they're out, we grab him and we just see what happens. Jeremy Grant was pretty big as well, 19 and 7 with 3 threes. Got that value with Millsap out. While Will Barton was ill before the game, allegedly. Will the ill thrill? That was terrible. I apologize for that. 18 and 4 assists with 2 steals for him, while Big Chungus had 17 and 13. And Malik Beasley, man, the minutes yo-yo with this bloke are out of control. 24 minutes, 11 and 3 with 3 steals. He goes from 30 minutes to 12 minutes to 23 minutes. There's no way of predicting what he does. We also got big minutes from Monty Morris. 36 minutes from Monty, 8 points and 8 assists. Not a must roster guy, but absolutely, while Jamal is out, there is assists stream value for all standard leagues there. Torrey Craig started, no idea. 2 points in 16 minutes. For the Timberwolves, Townsie, 28 and 8. Yeah, he's good. I think we all know that. While Gorgui Dieng played just 13 minutes, they are not going to play them together for any significant time. Dieng is a drop. Okogie, big offensive game from Joshy. 16 and 8 in 27 minutes. He's really stepped up of late. Shabazz Napier, again, much like Monty Morris, he's an assist guy. 8 assists and 2 steals. He's probably got a bit more long-term value than Morris, but I'm not convinced it locks in until the playoffs at all. Andy Wiggins, 15 and 6, not a great night from him. While Covington, I was worried that there would be a fall-off when Towns returned. It happened here. I'm not saying that's why it happened or because Towns is there that he fell off, but it is something to monitor. 9 and 6 in 33, while Jarrett Culver was bad. 6 points in 27 minutes, 25% shooting. He'd been so much better than that over the last couple of weeks. He is still a hold. Let's just hope it goes in the right direction versus going back to the abomination of a level of performance that we saw at the beginning of the season. All right, on to the next game. A weird one, this one, with the Phoenix Suns and the San Antonio Spurs battling right to the very end. The Spurs were up big. The Suns came roaring back. They got the lead, but the Spurs pipped them at the end, 120 to 118. How about Derek White?
Maximum Derek.
27 minutes, 25 points, 7 assists, and 4 threes. This guy is good. Now, the problem with him remains the minutes. But that's 2 games in a row where he's got more minutes than DeJounte Murray, and he's performed exceedingly well. Is he a 12-team ad? I absolutely don't trust it. They did play Murray and White together for a couple of minutes in this game. Not many, 2 or 3 minutes at only, but they did close the game with them. So that's very interesting to see. If he gets 27 a night, Derek, he is a 12-team league player. 30-plus, he's a top 80 sort of a guy. It's just not getting to that level, which is unfortunate for him. I thought we'd see way more of them together. We just haven't. For now, you leave him sort of on the outside, but if you've got maybe a move to spare and you think that he's going to push in and get more of these minutes over Murray, which is a definite possibility with how these guys are playing, then you can do it. As for DeJounte, I'd hold in most cases. 10 points, 4 assists, 4 steals. Yeah, 4 assists and 4 steals is still worthwhile in 24 minutes. While Bryn Forbes went bananas. 24 points with 8 triples in 33 minutes. He's not going to do that often, if at all. He had 1 rebound and 2 assists. This was one of those outlier-type performances with a bunch of threes, which is not something we can rely upon. DeMar DeRozan, we talked about his field goal percentage dropping off. It has. 33% here, but to his full credit, really, really good performances in other categories. 9 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals, keeping his value afloat while that ridiculous 57-56% shooting has dropped way off as it was always going to, but big numbers otherwise. Ballinelli played 23 minutes. The drip Lonnie Walker played 18 minutes. Not much to talk about with those guys. There was no Rudy Gay. And Patty Mills looked like he was injured in this one, only played the 12 minutes, 2 points. Hopefully he's okay, but that would open up more minutes for White, theoretically, and for Walker, if Mills does happen to miss time. For the Suns, Kelly Oubre returned from his concussion. 37 minutes, 15-8. Fantastic. He started over McCall Bridges, who still played 32 minutes. It wasn't a great night from Bridges, just 4 points with 2 assists. And again, the minutes is what's encouraging. He's normally a steals guy, didn't get in here. This is a very, very down game. He's a back-end 12 guy at best. DeAndre Ayton, 39 minutes, 25-12, absolutely beasting at the moment, while Booker had 37-7-5, but something to watch. At the end of the game, he did look like he was limping a little bit on his knee, so that's something to pay attention to. Ravishing Rick had 15-3-9, while Šarić only 20 minutes with Oubre back, and that's with no Baines as well. 10-5, obviously, just a very, very, very deeper league option is old Dario Šarić. The next game we look at was an absolute old-fashioned ass-kicking. 118 Utah, 88 Indiana. Justin Holiday, this is just a weird-ass game in terms of defensive lines. 25 minutes for Holiday, 3 steals and 5 blocks. Miles Turner, 6 steals and 0 blocks. Just absolute weirdness. 12-5 for Turner, 9 points for Holiday. Holiday's an interesting 14-team stream sort of an option. Jeremy Lamb, get his ass out of there. 11 points in 23 minutes, 2 steals for him. While Sabonis had 10-8, a very down performance from him. While Tony Warren Jr., revenge game his way to 4 points in 24 minutes, had 1 rebound. He's better than this, obviously, and he's still a hold. Doesn't mean I'm not worried about where his value goes later in the season. Well, Doug McDirt, who was so good last game, had 8 points in 23 minutes. Also a shit one from Malcolm Brogdon, who had 5-4-5 in 22 minutes. Just an altogether disaster from the Pacers. For the Jazz, Rudy Gobert, 20-14 in 31 minutes. I've had multiple people ask me, is this a sell high for Rudy Gobert? And I look at what he's doing and I go, like, why can't he do this? 18% usage, 73% field goal. He's just doing dunks. He's dominating offensively and defensively. 1 block. Like, why can't he do this? Maybe the free throws is a little bit too high, but he is absolutely on a roll at the moment, Gobert. And it's not on shit that looks completely whack and out of order and stuff that he can't do, because these are just things that Rudy Gobert can do when everything starts to roll together. And Mike Conley came back and he looked really good. This Jazz team looks absolutely fantastic. Just for reference, Gobert's the 8th ranked player over the last 2 weeks, averaging 20-15 on 19% usage, 74 from the line and 70% from the line. 2.4 blocks. Like, absolutely nothing there is ridiculous from Gobert. He is putting up some big, big ass numbers. The Don, Donovan Mitchell.
He's Don. He's good.
25 points in 31, while Conley had 14 in 18 minutes. Mike Conley should not be on your waiver wire. I know he sucked at the beginning of the season. He might suck again, but you don't leave a guy like that on the waiver wire. Must roster. Jingle and Joe still hold him. 27 minutes, 6 points with 7 assists. We don't know how it's all going to work when Conley's fully back, but it's more likely going to be O'Neal than Ingles and loses those minutes. While Bogdanovic had 16 points in his 32 minutes. How about the old minivan, George Niang? 15 points. Shout out to Nate Duncan for that nickname. 20 minutes for Niang. 15 points. He's a really solid player who has significant deep league value. Deep, you know, 18, 20 team leagues, but I don't think he's spotting the rotations going anywhere. While Manuel Mudiay is now out of the rotation with Conley back in action. And now finally, on to the last game of the night, the Portland Trailblazers. They make hard work of it, but they get it done against the Warriors. 129-124 in overtime. Damian Lillard sending the game to overtime and then pulling away at the end. But the Warriors were up pretty big in this one and blow another game. Alec Burks, 39 minutes for Golden State, 33 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. Really, really great stuff. He started in place of Glenn Robinson III. Of course, he's not going to be at this level. And when he could always be traded, Robinson's got to come back, Steph's got to come back, so he's going to lose a bit of value as the season goes on. But for now, he is a 12-team league guy. D'Angelo Russell had 27, 8, and 9, while Draymond Green was ill in this game, so he sat out. So the triangle, Eric Paschal, played 42 minutes and had 22 and 13. Not much else supporting that. And then when Green plays, he just doesn't get up to the high 20s or low 30s in minutes, making him a hard 12-team league guy to roster. Green is ill, so it doesn't appear like it's going to be a long-term thing. If you're in a luxury-type situation, you can have that thought, oh, they'll just continue to sit Draymond, they're tanking, all that sort of stuff, and then Paschal will have the intermediate-type good game, but I'm not sure he's really that good to hold on to in every circumstance. It appears Willie Cauley-Stein's the starting center again, 12-7 in 32 minutes with 3 blocks, while the Wizard Omari Spellman played only 22 minutes, which is a little bit disappointing. So Spellman's a drop. You could add Cauley-Stein in 12s if you like. I wouldn't get too excited there, while Marquese Chris had 14-6 in 21 minutes. Damian Lillard was fantastic, 61 points for the Blazers in his 45 minutes. That was just a ridiculous performance from Lillard in this game. Again, really carrying this team, who was without CJ McCollum as well, and Trevor Ariza still hasn't joined the squad. Not that he was providing many points, but just another body out there. Lillard had to do pretty much everything. He hit 11 threes in that total. He had 10 rebounds and 7 assists. Really, really strong numbers from Lillard. Whiteside looked like he hurt his quad early on, and then he got kneed in the balls as well, but he was able to play a lot of minutes in the end, which is obviously impressive to be able to do that. 15 points, 21 rebounds, 6 blocks there for Whiteside, so big numbers for him. Mello played 43 and had 14-9 with 2 steals and a block, a totally solid line, while Anthony Simons also got big minutes, 46 of them in place of McCollum, 15 points with 2 rebounds and 3 assists, also blocked 2 shots, but that's a line that you'd hope someone could get in 30 minutes, not 46, and he's not going to have these opportunities moving forward. He just is a short-term streamer. Well, Gazza Trent played 41 minutes, couldn't replicate his performance from last time out, only the 11 points on 14 shot attempts. Let's move on and talk some injury news now before we wrap up today's show. Let's start with Kyrie Irving, who had to miss today's game with a hamstring injury. Hopefully it's nothing too serious, but with Irving, you just never know in terms of his ability to heal up. Nothing appears to be too drastic here, but of course it's something we need to watch. Steven Adams had to leave today's game very early on with an ankle injury. Of course, that would just really elevate Nerlens Noel and give some stream value to Mike Muscala if Noel can't go. He missed today's game as well. Jimmy Butler also out today with a hip injury. Also want to quickly touch on Chandler Parsons, who was in a car accident the other day, and we heard that he was dealing with some concussion symptoms and was going to be out. And it turns out today, it looks a little bit more serious than that he's going to have some sort of permanent injuries. He has suffered a traumatic brain injury, they referred to it as. So that you would have to assume that this is going to be the end of Chandler Parsons' athletic career, which is horrible news for him. And he gets plenty of shit for signing a contract and then his knees breaking down. He didn't demand teams pay him that money. They obviously had a choice in that matter. He got the money. He was playing really well, and then his knees gave out on him. And this is obviously horrible news for anybody. So we do wish Chandler an ability not only to get back to the NBA court, but just to be able to live a full life, assuming there is nothing. And these permanent injuries aren't something that's going to impact his overall quality of life. So hopefully everything goes well for Chandler Parsons there. On a positive side of things, Zion Williamson is back. He is going to start on Wednesday for the Pelicans. They said there's no hard minutes restriction, but he'll probably be closer to the 20 minutes versus 30 minutes. So that's obviously great news that Zion is going to make his debut on Wednesday for the Pelicans. He shouldn't be on any waiver wires, pretty clearly. And then lastly, Mason Plumlee twisted his ankle. Didn't look like he was going to return, but came back at the end of the game. Wouldn't be surprised if it swelled up and he had to miss some time, meaning someone like Jared Vanderbilt would get a little bit of run perhaps there. They don't have another center. I don't think they'll throw Bol Bol into that mix, but you'll also get more Jeremy Grant at the 5, meaning more Michael Porter happening at the 4. Not going to do a preview of the one game for tomorrow. You can see the projections over on Basketball Monster. Don't forget, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. Give me a thumbs up. Leave your comments down below. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Patrick Patterson.